Hi. I'm going to hold this, which isn't going to go well because I use my hands a lot, as you'll see, but we'll figure this out. Good morning. Hi. As Taryn mentioned, I do spiritual direction. I have three of the people I meet with have newborns, and they send me pictures. I'm like, if you just want to bring me joy, they send me pictures of their babies, and oh my gosh, it just makes my day. So if any of you want my cell phone and just want to text pictures of your baby, know that I'm like, yes. Oh, it brings me such joy. Okay, I'm going to light a candle here. It's just a way that I go, hey, Holy Spirit, you're here. It's just a little reminder of the light of Christ that's here with us. Sometimes the wick tries not to light, but I always know that God prevails. These cute. I foraged these outside here because they're just cute. We needed some color. I don't know what your morning's been like, but I have a faint memory of what it may have entailed. So with that, I thought we would just start with a little bit of a breath prayer. This may or may not be a familiar practice to you, but I know that you happen to all breathe regularly, so that part will be familiar. Breath prayer is just a way of sort of taking a pause. I like to do it from scripture, but not necessary. We are going to start by inhaling, the Lord is my shepherd, and exhaling, I have everything I need. You might need to inhale peace, quiet, his presence, and you might need to exhale whatever happened this morning or whatever sort of taking you away from being in this place. So, and it might be a pile of laundry that you're going to walk back home to. It might be a conversation that didn't get wrapped up as you'd like. Whatever it is that you're feeling right now, that's what we're going to exhale into his care. And we're going to trust that while we're here, God's going to care for that. So will you just join me? If you're comfortable, just close your eyes, and I'll just kind of guide us through this. We inhale, the Lord is my shepherd. And we exhale all those cares. I have everything I need. We inhale, Lord, you are our shepherd. Exhaling our cares, our worries, distractions, the to-do list. We have everything we need. And one more time, we inhale. The Lord, you, Lord, are our shepherd. We have everything we need. And we entrust it to you. Amen. Lent is likely very familiar to most everyone here. Lent is the season of the 40 days preceding Easter, not including Sundays. And a lot of churches have practiced it. Our church also has some services around it. But a lot of times what can happen in this time of... this is what happens, too. Speaking of happening in times, this is what happens. What happens at Lent is that it becomes a season of preparation. And if we're not careful, though, it can also become another season of to-do. It can become a season of, am I doing it right? Am I leaning in appropriately? Is this sufficient? It can become us pursuing the cross, going after Jesus, which are all good things, but they can also be a distraction to us. I'm not saying that spiritual practices aren't meaningful. I am all about spiritual practices, trust me. But I just wonder if this season can sometimes make us feel like it's more to do or less to do, that it somehow becomes about getting it right. And so for this morning, my thought was, could we, instead of us thinking of pursuing Jesus more or better in this season, could we just imagine ourselves being pursued by him this Lent? Like, have a shift in our posture a little bit. Can we allow him to come and find us, like, right as we are, messy and undone and all those places, the parts that feel lost in the laundry or the cooking, or the parts that feel lost in diapers or lack of sleep, or even the parts of us that feel like they lie dormant, like kind of remembering like who I was and what I used to do and what was valuable to me and where did that go? And sometimes it's the parts that we're trying to hide from God or the things that we're not willing to let go, the sins that we're like, I just need this one thing. Or sometimes it's the part of us that just feels like we want to try to have it all together. So this morning, rather than look at Lent and how to do it well, we're going to look at it this way. I believe that the Holy Spirit led each one of you here today to this place. And I also believe that he led you right to your life as it is today. And so with that belief, we all are going to sort of acknowledge that sometimes that place can feel like a wilderness. Wherever he's led us, no matter how old you are like me or your stage, it can feel like a wilderness being a mom. And so we're going to look at this as a time of not me teaching you, but actually it's me inviting you into a space of just being restful. Like this, I want you to feel right now like, ah, the way that these babies are resting in arms, I want you to feel that way in this next bit of time. So I'm actually not going to be teaching you. I'm going to be inviting you into a time of rest, a time that we can be met by the Good Shepherd. So welcome to the first ever micro Lenten retreat. That's what I'm calling this. Some of you here have been to my retreats. I love retreats because I love to offer a space where we can just rest in God's presence and feel restored. And I'm like, if anyone needs that, it's you guys. So what I want you to know is there's no expectation from you in this time. And if you are feeling so wiped out that literally you just want to like put your hand on the table and rest your head, that's totally fine. I'm just trying to create a space for you that has zero expectation, and I want you to have that freedom. So this is just my offering to you, and what I want to turn now is our gaze to Jesus. And as the scripture on the whatever that thing is called, TV screen, says, he was taken into the wild by the Spirit. And it also goes on to say that he was taken there for the test. And there in the wild, as we know, Jesus fasted and he was tempted. I imagine Jesus felt lonely. He felt isolated. He felt withdrawn. He was apart from the life that he knew and all the comforts that were familiar to him. He wasn't with his crew of people, his tribe, as you guys probably call it. And he was tempted in that place by an enemy who knew that he was vulnerable and he was weak. And by the way, he was hungry and thirsty. And I can't help but think that actually motherhood can feel that way sometimes. Like we can feel like it's a wilderness of a different sort. We can feel isolated. We can feel like there are times, days, periods that are dry, that we're distant from the life that we once lived, the person we once were. And wilderness doesn't actually always have to look like so dramatic, too. It can also just look like a lonely day or that pile of laundry that is, by the way, they're so tiny, the piles of laundry at this stage, but gosh, the folding, like your one pile of laundry is like, ugh. And sometimes that's what the wilderness of motherhood looks like. But Jesus there, as I said, in his wild place, he was met with temptations. We all know this. He was tempted with bread that could just satisfy temporarily. He was tempted with the risk, the temptation to take a risk, a foolish risk. And he was tempted to have total control and power. Well, as a mom in a wild place, how great and tempting does like fresh hot sourdough sound sometimes? Lots of butter, by the way. And a moment of just total reckless abandon, like, forget the kids, I'm gonna go. I don't know, it would be fun for you. And a sense of control. How tempting does that feel? Oh, control over the schedule or the sleep or the meals, whatever. But you know, Jesus doesn't bite. In fact, he responds each time to the temptation with scripture. In the Message, I love the Message translation. Sometimes it's hilarious. He's like, beat it, Satan. Literally, it says that in print. And sometimes I feel like that's the answer I come up with, too. Like, I don't have scripture right now, but it's just like, beat it, Satan, you know. So I don't know if you feel comfortable with this or not, but and some of you may not be able to because you're holding and dealing, but if you're comfortable enough to just close your eyes, I just want to kind of bring us into a resting place. And I'm just going to kind of guide our thoughts and imagination, prayer, contemplation. But also, if I go to a direction or ask a question and you feel like actually the Spirit or God is asking you something else, or your mind's wandering to a different place, will you follow his lead and not mine? Because it could be that you haven't had this pause yet today and he just wants to take you to a place. So whether it's through me or through his own Spirit in you, follow. So let's ask ourselves, how do I find myself? Like, how am I feeling right now in this Lenten season? And I consider the landscape of my life. Perhaps it feels like a wild place. Maybe parts feel stripped away. Maybe parts of me just feel a little bit lost in the monotony of motherhood and my schedule. Just sort of feel what I'm feeling right now. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us to see what you see as you look at our days. Let's try not to judge the landscape. Feel no shame around it or disappointment, but just to observe it. Just look at our lives, our days, how we feel. Just notice it. Maybe notice those areas that feel dry. Maybe notice the places that feel healthy and thriving. Maybe where you're tired or stretched thin. And think about those places of temptation that come in when you're at your weakest, maybe fighting a cold, without sleep, without a sense of control. What are the voices that you hear? Just be aware of them. Is there a voice that says, you could do better? A voice that says, is that enough? Is that good enough? A voice that says, I'm missing out? What's the temptation that comes to you? And we just want to offer all of this to the Lord now. The landscape, what we're feeling, the temptations. Lord, you already know it. You already see it. We just want to place it into your care. We know you see us. We just rest here held by you, right where we are. Amen. Well, I imagine that a lot of you read stories to your children. How many of you read to your children like when they were in the womb or are reading to your children in the womb? Yeah. Isn't there just something so sacred about story time? I mean, it's actually how the Bible got passed along, which is like people telling stories. And it's such a nurturing and beautiful thing, but I don't know how many of you get read to for story time anymore in your lives. So if there are some of you that do that regularly, if someone's reading stories to you, God bless. For the rest of you, I'm going to just kind of invite you into story time this morning. And I'm going to read over you a story from Jesus. And the context of this story is that the religious elite, we know them as the Pharisees. You know, they always were picking on him and finding a problem. For those of you with sibling kids, you know what this is. There's some people just like, ugh. They're always finding a problem, and they're complaining about the fact that Jesus has befriended people that, like, they're not really the people they want to be friends with. Okay, like, they're just like, why are you hanging out with these people and befriending them? But really what is it? It's about is it's a story about imperfect people and a Savior who just longs to be near them. a Savior that just wants to bring them home to his presence. And so, again, if you enjoyed closing your eyes, and even if that leads you to fall asleep, by all means, do it, girl. I'm going to read this story through one time, and I'm just going to read it. It's a short story, but I just want you to notice sort of what settles with you, if there's words that you notice or something that touches you, and just sort of notice it. And then the second time I read it through, I'm going to ask some questions along the way that might be helpful to you to sort of engage the story, or they might not be because God has a totally different direction for you. So whatever the case, just enjoy story time. And wherever you want to, yeah, get comfortable, do whatever. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When you found it, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders. And when you got home, you'd call in your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me. I've found my lost sheep. Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in need of no rescue." I'm going to read the story again. Try to place yourself there in the scene. Use your imagination. Let God show you. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Place yourself in the story. Perhaps you're a sheep that stays in the fold. Maybe you see yourself as the lost one wandering off. Maybe you're just an observer. You're picturing the landscape, the weather. Imagine the sheep, the flock. Imagine the shepherd. Notice what you find yourself drawn to. And consider the lost one. What does she look like? How do I feel toward her? I try to imagine what led her to walk away. How does she feel being lost? Is she nervous? Defiant? How is it for her to be alone? Away from the others, apart from the shepherd. What parts of me have wandered from others? Where have I wandered away from the shepherd? Jesus says, "Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it?" Do I want to be found? Like all of me? How do I feel as I imagine the shepherd going near, seeing the lost sheep? I imagine Jesus. How does he feel as he realizes that one of us is lost? Do I imagine him feeling worried? What's the expression on his face? Is he sad? Longing? disappointed. Leave and go after the lost one. I think of the times that I've felt lost. Maybe a loved one who feels lost right now comes to my heart or mind. And I think of my own story of being found by Jesus. Lord, will you come after the lost parts in me even now? In places of sin or resistance, I find myself wandering from you and throughout the day in small ways. Would you find me? Find all of me. Jesus says, when found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders. So we imagine Jesus drawing near and reaching down toward the sheep, lifting her into his arms, holding her and placing her upon his shoulders. He bears all of her weight. How is it for her, maybe for you, to allow him to shoulder you, to hold you completely? Oh, Lord, how I long for you to notice me, to come near, to hold me, to hold all of me, to hold my wandering and my walking away. And he puts her across his shoulders, rejoicing, rejoicing. God, I savor that when you look for us, you find us, you carry us, and you feel great joy when we are restored fully to your presence. Jesus said, and when you got home, you'd call in your friends and your neighbors saying, celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep. He took the sheep home. Maybe you have an image of home now. He restored her. And not just to himself. He restores her to community. How is it for her to be home? How is it for her to be celebrated? Count on it, he says. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in need of no rescue. Lord, thank you for rescuing me. We offer you, Lord, all the parts of us that could use a little bit of a rescue even now. We offer you the parts of us that still feel like wandering. Sometimes we can't bring them back. We just need you to. Jesus, thank you that that's your heart for us. Thank you that you tell us you are the Good Shepherd. Amen. I love this image of a shepherd with this sheep across his shoulders. Some consider it sort of a foreshadowing of the cross. Being found, being sought by the Lord happens when he finds us and he enfolds us And he lifts us up and he carries us, all of us, the weight of all of us. But it's a lifetime journey, right? Because we wander off every single day. Parts of us wander off from our shepherd. But he never grows tired of coming looking for us. And he never gives up on holding us when we'll let him. After a time of being noticed, a time of being sought after and held and restored, as I think we all were just now, do you have a sense of now what God might be inviting you into this Lenten season? Does it shift in any way? How can we be attuned to those places in us that have wandered off and just don't know how to find their way back? Can they rest? Can they know that the shepherd wants them, wants to draw near and find them? We're going to finish actually where we began, which is in the wild. Because after Jesus was tempted the final time, he responds once again with scripture. And this one's from Deuteronomy. He says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." Absolute single-heartedness. It actually reminded me of your verse this year from Colossians 3:23. And I loved the Amplified translation of that. It says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, and your tasks are endless in this phase. Whatever your task may be, work from the soul. Just put forth your best effort, but from the soul. As if you're doing something done for the Lord and not for men. You know, I wonder when I think about these words, your task, your best effort. Hey, what if your best effort this Lent is just letting Jesus find you? Like, how hard is it for you to sit and trust that that's his heart for you? That Lent might be about him finding you, him carrying you, and him restoring you. You know, his desire is to bring us close to him. And that sheep just got picked up. Will we let ourselves be picked up this Lent? There's a part of it, yes, of confessing and acknowledging and seeing our sins and seeing those places that we wander off. And even our places of resistance, we're like, I don't know that I want to go back yet. He knows. It's not a surprise to him. But can we get to that place of feeling this utter dependence on him? The one who tells us that he is the good shepherd. The one who wants to whisper, you know my voice. It's not the voice of temptation. It's the voice that says, I love you. You are mine. I want to hold you. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, nobody knows what it's like to be held more than, or to hold these moms in this room. They know what it is to hold and what joy there is in holding. They know what it is to seek after a child. They know the joy of being present to that child. And that's what you offer us right now. Your eye is on us the way their eye is on their child. You desire to scoop us up, to hold us. But unlike us, we never get too heavy for you. You never get exhausted. Would you shoulder us this season? Would you find us right where we are? Would you draw us into your presence? Into a place of community, into a place of knowing we are loved and we are held and we are rejoiced over. And with that, we rejoice in you, our good, good shepherd. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
actually...
Do I need to talk in this, or can you hear me if I do?